First thing to know with any legal question, of course, is what law applies. And when we're talking about oil and gas leases, there's three different areas that kind of could apply. There's contract law, property law, landlord-tenant. Each one has its own kind of default rules for anti-assignment. So contract law, the default rule is you can freely assign your contract if nobody says anything about it. If you guys agree differently, though, the policy in Texas, of course, is we're going to hold you to what you guys say and your freedom of contract. We're going to do that. Property law is different because we don't want to tie up the land. We want it going to the person who's going to develop it, who's going to do put it to its highest and best use. So the default is a little bit different there. Landlord-tenant is complete opposite of that. Is the default, if you don't say anything about assignment, then you cannot assign it because the landlord still has an interest in their property. They want to be able to control who's there, which makes sense. Now, it also matters where you're at, though, because an oil and gas lease, of course, is treated differently in different states. In Louisiana, for example, it's essentially a contractual license, so you're going to have contract law probably there. I'm not a Louisiana lawyer, I don't know, but I would imagine contract law there is pretty important for it. Here, you got real property, also in Oklahoma and New Mexico. Kansas is kind of a hybrid that does weird stuff. Point is, the rules aren't going to be the same everywhere. But in Texas, we know that it's a fee simple. An oil and gas lease is a fee simple determinable. So that is a property right. We're definitely talking about property law. And so we have the strong bias against restricting that ability to transfer. It's kind of like in contract law when you have, you've maybe heard of like the ambiguity. When you have an ambiguity, you can construe it against the drafter. It's kind of like the last resort. And when you're dealing with the restraints on alienation, the language is going to be strictly construed to not prevent a transfer. For example, if you have assignments, if your language says assignments are prohibited, but it doesn't say anything about merger, the restatement law in Texas, or the restatement law applied in Texas, would say, well, you can do a merger then. You can transfer it that way because you didn't strictly say you couldn't do that. So there's three types of restraints that are generally considered: promissory restraints, disabling restraints, and forfeiture restraints. Texas courts are going to look to the restatements for that. They've done that for a long time, especially when there's no guidance. Promissory restraints are the most common thing you'll probably see in a consent to sign provision in a lease. The example language you're going to see for that is kind of up here on the screen now. This lease shall not be assigned. That's a promissory restraint. This lease shall not be assigned without lessor consent. It's a promissory restraint as well. What the restatement says is that first one, this lease shall not be assigned, is not valid because you got to have a, when you're going to put this restraint on there, you got to have it qualified to be able to prevent transfer to some people, but not all. That's okay. So that first one, they're going to say is invalid, is what the restatement law would say. Is a court really going to go do that? I think it kind of depends on the circumstances. So, for example, when I explained the Mayo Foundation background, the lady, the widow, she first had that lease with the company. If, for example, she'd made that lease and that company turned around right away and sold it to someone else, the restatement says a court should say that's still invalid. You can do that. I don't know if you go to a Texas state court and you have a widow there who's talking about, I just made this agreement with these people and turned around and did it. It may not happen. I just don't know because there's no case law that says, you know, what way it's going to happen. This is what the restatement says should happen. The other one, this lease should not be assigned without lessor consent, is actually valid under the restatement because it does allow transfer to some people. It's just not an outright naked prohibition. But the restraint also has to be reasonable under the circumstances. When the restatements talk about what's reasonable, the first restatement, it has tons of different factors there. You don't really need to look at those. I think it's just way too many for a court to consider. And if you look at the ones that are bolded up on the screen now, the things it talks about as being capricious, spite, malice, all this stuff, if you're a litigator, what that means to you, that's all discretionary stuff that a jury decides. It's not something a court is going to look at and be able to set and apply clear rules of law for people to rely on going in the future. So I don't think that's any real guidance whatsoever. In my opinion, and I think some of the recent case kind of confirmed this too, you would look to the third restatement, which came out in 2000, does a lot better job of saying what should not happen. So it focuses on injurious consequences is what it calls it. And again, I'm flying through all of this. I'm not going to dwell on what all this stuff means, but you don't want to impede a free market in land. You don't want to limit development improvement. But it also says this one that always jumps out to me, which is that you don't want to put a person in a position to take unfair advantage of another's need or desire to transfer the property. And the way that comes up, I think most often that I've seen, is what would be called a consent fee, right? So someone has a consent right, And they say, I'll give you my consent when you pay me for it. And according to the third restatement, that should be presumptively invalid because you're trying to take advantage of them. A lot of other states, you can limit that by the duty of good faith and fair dealing. But as you know, in Texas, we don't have that duty here except for very special types of contracts. Commercial contracts like this, it doesn't really exist. But the third restatement, it goes on. And again, there's a lot of details there and I'm skimming over it. But essentially what it says is any consent right is going to incorporate a reasonableness requirement into it. So what that means in effect is if you see the two lease language or the consent right language on the screen right now, this lease cannot be assigned without lessor consent. That's okay under the first restatement. The next one continues after it to say such consent should not be unreasonably withheld, which is probably what you see most often around modern days. The restatements will say both of those are essentially the same thing. Whether you say it or not, you have to be reasonable without when you're given lessor consent, if you're not going to give consent. Keep in mind, this is for a property issue, and I'll get to in a minute where it differs.